You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up today at 6 on 1A Plus, it's the weekly news roundup. Record heat in a third of the country, record rain in the Northeast, and a drop in inflation numbers. Those stories and more today at 6 on 1A Plus. Now, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says last month was the hottest month for the planet on record. Southwestern cities are currently breaking records as a heat wave sweeps the country. In Wisconsin, the U.S. Drought Monitor lists all of southern Wisconsin under a severe or extreme drought as of the latest data on Tuesday. Scientific American reports that extreme heat is the top cause for weather-related deaths in America, killing more people than hurricanes, floods, and tornadoes combined. A Milwaukee-based extreme heat specialist is here to talk about heat wave preparation and how to stay safe when the hot weather comes to Wisconsin, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about protecting yourself from extreme heat? How do you stay cool during the summer months? Does your community have resources to reach out and help people when a heat wave comes through town? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Nick Tomorrow is the Emergency Preparedness and Environmental Health Director for the Milwaukee Health Department. Nick, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Now, I think we don't always take heat waves seriously as a health threat. Can you talk about how potentially serious they can be?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like in your intro, well, certainly not a good fact, but heat-related death is the number one cause of weather-related death. And as you said, I think we're headed into the middle of summer here. We really have not had extreme heat yet. So sometimes people get a little bit complacent. So I always appreciate the opportunity to talk about this subject and just remind people that it can really sneak up on you at different times. And we really need to be conscious of heat-related illness for ourselves. And then we as a local health department always focus on the most vulnerable in the community in these types of events.
I wanted to look back. We had the big 1995 heat wave. A lot of people think of Chicago, understandably, but it also affected Milwaukee and other parts of southern Wisconsin. 1999 heat wave. What kind of lessons, from a community health standpoint now, what kind of lessons have we learned that a community like Milwaukee can do to help prevent the worst from happening?
Yeah, you bring up 1995. We work closely with Tim Halbach with the National Weather Service. He speaks to our groups that we work with quite frequently, and we did in that 1995 heat wave had 91 direct heat-related deaths, so really big event. One of the things Tim always stresses is that because these heat-related events are so far apart, we do sometimes become complacent. So we really, again, stress the importance of preparedness for these events and then really response during. We organize around the community with a lot of different community partners to both talk with them about their preparedness for the community and their messaging to individuals they work with directly, and then also, you know, response activities they would take in an event like this. So if we have a heat emergency, we're actually working with Milwaukee County Office of Emergency Management and other partners to have coordination calls with a number of community partners, governmental agencies, to really look at what are our resources, what are our needs, who are the most vulnerable, where are they in our community, and how do we reach them most effectively, both communication-wise, with resources, do we need to open up, you know, special cooling centers, things like that. So a lot of coordination goes around, especially events like 1995 that would be elevated to a heat emergency.
You mentioned vulnerable populations. Who are we most worried about in the event of heat waves?
Yeah, so we really stress the elderly. So those who are our friends, our loved ones, our acquaintances who are older, infants, young children. We think a lot about people with underlying conditions, both heart and lung conditions, but other chronic conditions as well. Think about those with access and functional needs or certain types of disabilities. There's a good percentage of people who have work in outdoor settings that we really have to be conscious of and modify work schedules or modify work at different times. If you live in an area or a home without air conditioning. And then also you know, we stress as a health department looking at what types of medications are you on, and what how those types of interactions can occur in extreme heat events. So really just exceptionally important to think about those in your life, whether it's those who are part of your family, friends, or just neighbors, anyone you can think of during these types of times that really could use a helping hand, and checking on them frequently in especially these really extreme events.
Talking to Nick tomorrow, Emergency Preparedness and Environmental Health Director for the Milwaukee Health Department. We're looking at heat wave preparation. Now, it's warm in Wisconsin today. We're not at a heat wave right now, but we're watching a lot of the country deal with extreme heat. We're talking about what we need to know, what individuals and what communities can do to prepare in the event of a heat wave. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guests, things that you see in your own community, things you worry about. And if you have people in that basically third of the country dealing with this right now, what are you hearing from them? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Nick, what kind of temperatures and heat indexes do you, as an emergency preparedness coordinator, what are the levels where you start to get worried?
We coordinate very closely with the National Weather Service. So we have three different categories. We start with a heat health update that we would be putting out messaging. That is a heat index value. So when you talk about heat index, the heat index is a combination of looking at both the air temperature, but also humidity. So really it's kind of how hot does it really feel outside. So the heat index in a heat health update is when it's expected to be a heat index of 95 or higher during daytime hours in the next 1 to 7 days would activate that first kind of the lowest level of our thresholds. Heat health advisory, we would issue this typically anywhere from 6 to up to 36 hours prior to an advisory expected. That would be a heat index value expected to be 100 or higher, or daytime heat index values expected to be 95 to 99 for 4 consecutive days. Really important to think about the fact that sometimes we just have heat indices and temperatures that are extending for several days, and that really begins to kind of fatigue individuals and the community in general. And then what we're most focused on and within this discussion, what we want to stress most, and especially when we're talking about those who are most vulnerable, is that heat emergency, true heat emergency, and that would be a heat health watch or a warning. That we would try to get out messaging, obviously, as early as possible for anticipation, typically 24 to 48 hours at least, working with the National Weather Service. That heat warning really is looking at expected heat index values that are equal to or exceeding 105, and then nighttime heat index values that are 75 or higher for at least a 48-hour period. Also, and there's a lot of numbers, I know, but just, you know, you're sure talking about high heat index. So heat index values of 100 to 104 for 4 or more consecutive days. So again, if you think about it, if you just cannot get out of the heat, especially if you don't have air conditioning at home, and even in the nighttime, that heat index and temperatures are not falling below a certain level, it's just so fatiguing to people, and especially those with chronic conditions and those who are going to be most susceptible to these environmental conditions.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth is with us in Verona. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to comment that I have family in Farmington, New Mexico, which is up in the Four Corners region of New Mexico. They have feels like temperatures of, or air temperatures of over 100 degrees or right around 100, but not everyone realizes that that's abnormal for that area. It is a high desert area at the base of the Rocky Mountains, and it's weird to have that much heat and not the huge temperature swings at night to cool off. It just keeps getting hotter.
How are they doing out there, Elizabeth?
They're luckily it's an area that does get hot, so they do have air conditioners. I'm lucky to have my mom actually visiting me in Wisconsin right now. She has MS and she doesn't do well with the heat. So it is what it is, but you stay inside and you drink lots of water and just try and stay healthy.
Elizabeth, thanks a lot for the call. Now, Nick, you mentioned something. Elizabeth mentioned something that reminded me. Our colleagues here at WPR reported those nighttime temperatures here in Wisconsin in the summer, on average, they're going up in most places in the state. That might not be an eye-popping number as the, you know, the daytime high might be, but that can be a really big problem, right?
Yeah, again, you know, just think about those heat events, and if you cannot cool off, even at night, that's when we're going to have a lot more problems in individuals or the general population. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, again, yeah, thank the caller for the information. I pulled up what's called a heat and health tracker on the CDC website, Climate and Health Program. Really impressive in terms of what's going on around the country. I think individuals on the call have probably heard, you know, Texas, Florida, New Mexico, Arizona, really just extended periods of high heat. And it's been a pretty unprecedented summer so far. I think you mentioned maybe at the outset that three of the highest, the hottest days on record in the history of tracking earlier in the month here. So,
thanks again for that call. We're talking to Nick Tomorrow, Emergency Preparedness and Environmental Health Director for the Milwaukee Health Department, talking about the dangers of extreme heat and how to protect our health and how communities can prepare. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have people you check in on in times of bad weather, including heat waves? What do you do to make sure they're doing okay? What kind of efforts do you see in your community to prepare for extreme temperatures like this? Do you happen to be listening online from one of those parts of the country that's getting that incredible heat right now? Knock on wood, we're not getting into Wisconsin yet. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Nick Tomorrow, Emergency Preparedness and Environmental Health Director for Milwaukee Health, and we're finding out how to protect ourselves and our communities from extreme heat waves like we're seeing across so much of the southern United States right now, and what local governments can do to prepare. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your experiences with a heat wave, maybe right now if you happen to be listening in one of those parts of the country. Join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Back to your calls. Samantha is with us in Menominee. Samantha, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to ask about, Samantha?
I was just hoping that your guest could explain to listeners the difference between a heat index and a wet bulb temperature. I know that that's been that phrase has been popping up in the news more and more as information about climate change begins to surface more, and I think will be continue to be more and more relevant to folks going forward. I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you.
Samantha, great question, and I will admit I get confused about this. Nick, can you help straighten us out?
Yeah, I'll do my best, and, you know, kind of wish my friend Tim was on here to help me out. But wet bulb temperature is defined as the lowest temperature that can be reached under current ambient conditions by the evaporation of water only. That's not going to help our listeners right now. So I am not an expert on wet bulb temperature. I will be very upfront with that,
sure,
that statement. So as I'm on with you here, I will read more and I'll explain this better to you.
So I think we're overdue for a conversation with Tim Halbach, actually. It's been a while, so we should bring him back on to talk about the nuts and bolts of weather. Thanks for the suggestion, actually. That could make a great future topic. And thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Nick, as we reach out to people in the event of a heat wave, for individual people now, like, what are some of the warning signs that, heat is getting to you, you need to stop what you're doing and take care of yourself?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. You know, really important. So think about first, you know, I'll first talk about heat exhaustion. So if you are experiencing, or certainly if you're with someone, heavy sweating, if you're looking at someone, they look pale, you know, if you're experiencing or someone's describing muscle cramping, tiredness, obviously weakness, somebody's looking dizzy, feeling dizzy, headache, you know, just signs of nauseousness and vomiting also can take place during heat exhaustion, up to and including fainting. Heat stroke, really, when we're reaching this much more emergent stage in the body where core body temperature is rising to a very dangerous level. you can actually start to get to the point where you're not sweating. That's a huge red flag, and something that as an individual or if you're with somebody to really take note of and seek immediate emergency help, rapid pulse. Likely have oftentimes a throbbing headache, dizziness, nausea, confusion, leading to unconsciousness. This is really a state where the body is at such extreme core temperatures that you can end up really risking organ failure and multi-system organ failure. So this is a situation where we end up with individuals in the hospital and sometimes hospitalized for good amounts of time.
And Nick, as I understand it, there's a concern that we may undercount the impact of heat waves sometimes because there might be an increase in some causes of death, not direct heat stroke, but people who are vulnerable to bad conditions, people with cardiovascular problems, things like that. Who should be particularly watchful about hot weather when it comes to people with, existing health conditions?
Yeah, you named, those with underlying heart conditions and respiratory conditions are probably top of the list. But really, one of the callers earlier, those with MS, those with chronic conditions of many sorts, diabetes, we track, especially during heat emergencies, we track certain codes within hospital systems for those who may have really been hospitalized or severely affected through heat exposure. But, the best thing we can say in a venue like this where we're able to talk to a lot of people is just really thinking about your underlying health conditions and anything that's, significant where you're on medications, certain types of cardiac medications for mental health. There's many, many different things that you really want to take note of. Those who are on medications for blood pressure, incredibly important to think about, your exposure in these heat events.
Talking to Nick Tomorrow, Environmental Health Director and Emergency Preparedness Director for the Milwaukee Health Department, talking about how we get ready for heat waves, what to do when they come along to keep everybody safe. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Nick, for outdoor activities, employers who have people working outside or sports coaches who have a bunch of, say, high school kids playing outside, when do you reach out to them and say, maybe take some steps to lower that risk?
Yeah, again, I think one of the most important things we do is that we're putting out public messaging. And obviously the National Weather Service is just, a champion at this in terms of the situational reports they put out and help to get out the message. But from a public health standpoint and a health agency standpoint, we would be trying to really, within all means of communication that are feasible, put out information for organizations like that to make decisions. We did have a number of slightly different, but during the air quality problems recently that really reached a higher level than we've had in recent history here. We had a lot of consults on what would be reasonable to be doing outside. And that's a common scenario in the heat events as well, where we would have outreach. Regarding whether it's reasonable to have sporting events and things of the sort.
Now, for longer term things with climate change, with periodic El Nino conditions like we have now, are there things you see Milwaukee doing to, change the landscape in the city for the future to try to lower the risk of future heat waves?
I think a lot of people on the call have probably heard. Green infrastructure is incredibly important. Environmental Collaboration Office, ECO, at the city is a really important division or department in the city that is promoting green infrastructure. So tree canopy is huge, really trying to reduce that heat island effect, which occurs most, significantly in a downtown area. So the more concrete you have, the more heat you are going to retain. So, there are a lot of efforts both in Milwaukee and other parts of the country to really look at that, what we call green infrastructure and the built environment to really help, especially long-term. Can't stress enough the importance of tree canopy. There was Dan Buckler did a great job organizing with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, last year, a heat mapping event throughout our community. And so we had that data to look at We also, as an organization, have a colleague here who updated what's called a heat vulnerability index. So it looks at a lot of information and maps out, based on population data, natural and built environment data, sociodemographic information, what are the parts of our city and county that are the most susceptible to extreme heat? And that, as a public health agency and other agencies that work in the space to try to help protect people, it's incredibly valuable to be able to target our efforts.
Just a quick question, Nick. You mentioned the air quality. I'm looking at the wildfire smoke map. It's slowly making its way across Wisconsin again. I just wonder, you know, you're a health guy in Milwaukee. Did you ever think you'd have to be dealing with a public health issue of wildfire smoke?
You know, it's a great question. I was out west one time and you know, close to wildfires. Really impressive what we were seeing. This this was really unprecedented. And when I was actually doing a different media piece on the air quality at the time, and the reporter asked me, and I didn't know at the time, but I don't think we had reached, you know, levels any time in the history of our area to close to what we had. It was a day, I remember it was the Tuesday of that week. I went outside and you could literally smell the smoke. It was, and myself, who have no underlying respiratory issues, I was really, really affected out there. So it was pretty impressive.
Nick, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for the time. Thanks for getting word out.
That's Nick Tomorrow, Emergency Preparedness and Environmental Health Director for the Milwaukee Health Department. Nick joined us to talk about extreme heat and how to stay safe in the summer months when extreme heat comes along. Coming up Monday here on Central Time, hazing hits the Big Ten as Northwestern's football coach is fired after reports of problems on the team. Look at the hazards of hazing at all levels and efforts to prevent it from happening in the first place. And a long-running game show has made a cultural tradition out of grocery store prices and guessing what things cost. We'll meet the author of the new book, Solving the Price is Right, and you can join in with your Price is Right memories and questions. That and more. It's all coming up Monday here on Central Time on the Ideas Network.